even with good follow-up, some patients will start to regain weight. Prior to the show, we had an opportunity to visit Donald. Donald had gastric bypass 5 years ago after reaching well over 500 pounds and suffering a series of related health problems. In the 2 years following his operation, he lost 250 pounds. But over the last 3 years, Donald has faced a number of challenges that threaten not only his long-term weight loss, but his overall health again.
I have a part-time job in which I work for a small restaurant chain in which I'm a shift manager.
That's a taco salad. You need an enchilada dinner.
The restaurant itself has got a real nice family atmosphere to it.
Hey, you want beef or chicken on that combo? I think it's $4.94 at the window.
I was never a skinny person, so to speak. I was always what I call a well-boned person. When I was in fast food many years ago, one of the things that I found was just the constant drinking of sodas. You always have a food or a snack or something right there in front of you many times. Whether you realize it or not, you're just grabbing things and constantly snacking on them. I started to see the weight pile and pile and pile and pile and pile. Eventually, I grew to 300, 400, and then over 500 pounds. At my highest weight, it was 542 and a half pounds. I felt my life was out of control in the sense that I didn't have a future. It was difficult. I mean, you can laugh things away, but deep inside you, it's a struggle.
Donald came into my practice about 5 years ago, and he was already suffering from a lot of the medical problems that come along with carrying that sort of weight. He had high blood pressure, he had terrible sleep apnea. And the biggest thing I remember about him was he had the hardest time walking. His knees really bothered him. Talk about high risk. That's high risk.
We don't cure obesity.
We talked about the different surgical options that were available at the time. And he decided that a gastric bypass was the right operation for him.
At that point, he just completely did the total revamping of my stomach.
All good. Everything cleaned up a little bit here.
After my surgery, I was asked to pick up some kind of physical exercise program, whether it be through walking or riding the bike, from a couple minutes a day all the way up to where I was walking to 30 to 45 minutes a day. My eating habits definitely had to change. After the end of the first year, I had actually went down to about around 275 pounds. So I was a whole new person, literally. I think that losing the 250 pounds saved my life. I don't think I'd be alive today, to be honest. Then, I don't know where it began, but it began somewhere along the line. I just changed my behaviors as far as my eating. I went back to drinking lots of sodas, candies, chips, you name it. And it's just a matter of I lost control. Let's be honest.
He was 2 years out from surgery, and that's really where patients go out of what we call a honeymoon phase, where they've seen all this weight loss come off, they're feeling so much better, and it's just not as exciting as it was during that early period. Most patients come through surgery with little to no problems, but the hard work starts after surgery, and that's the part you got to be prepared for.
It took me about a three-year decision to go back to see Dr. Stegman. I had been a success story in his life and in my life, and it became a fear to show back up and say, hey, look at me now. And that was ashamed of the fact that I'd had gained that weight back.
Okay. As patients start to regain weight, they do feel embarrassed. You know, they feel like they're failing again, and that's when we really want them coming in.
This is typically what we give everybody, and you may have gotten one when you first had the surgery.
The only thing we're trying to do with obesity surgery is to get people back to a better weight. We give them a do-over. Now, what are you going to do with your do-over? If you make better choices, you're going to keep this weight off forever. If you start to slide away from that, your chronic disease will come out again.
All of these things are just going to help you get back on track.
Over the next year, I plan to lose the 140 pounds that I gained back. When I look at that, that's a little over 10 pounds a month. I think I can do that. My poker buddies are, I'm sure, going to harass me quite a bit. But at the same point, they're going to help me.
Thank you, Randy.
You need those people standing over there saying, you know, that's not two eyes. That's fine. That's a reminder. I honestly believe I can do this. I want to do this. I want to enjoy myself this time.
Well, I think Donald's a perfect example of how weight loss surgery works. He lost 250 pounds, but then how patients can move backwards towards an unhealthy state. I am so excited to have Donald back in my clinic. I've been hitting on him for years to try to come back in. And now that he's back in, the first thing that we have to do is say, is the weight loss surgery failing the patient, or is the patient failing the weight loss surgery? And so he's undergone some tests, and anatomically, he is still intact. And so his surgery is working for him. Now we just got to get him working with his surgery. And I can tell you, now Donald's back in the clinic, he's already starting to lose weight again, and it's refocusing back on those healthy habits.
So how do you help patients maintain the weight loss long term?
We do it in a combination of ways. Number one, we have to address all of those topics. So we spend a lot of time talking about dietary issues. We tell patients all the time, well, you need to make healthy choices. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to make a healthy choice? And we need to teach them what that means. Label reading becomes very important. There are so many things that are fat-free. That does not mean healthy. And we need to be able to teach that to our patients. So a lot of dietary teaching. We teach a lot of exercise as well. And one of the things that we try to get patients to do is exercise smarter. Mm-hmm. You can exercise and not be very effective in your exercise, but there are ways that you can be much more effective in it. And then from a behavioral standpoint, we start working on as well. Why do I eat? Do I eat because I'm happy? Do I eat because I'm sad? Do I eat because I'm bored? Do I eat because I'm angry? Because those reasons don't go away. We just need to find healthier ways to deal with those emotions. And it's constantly reinforcing that for patients. And then we try to create an environment that's friendly, and it's welcoming. And I expect my patients are going to regain some weight. It's the nature of the disease. But when that happens, come in. Come see us. That's what we're here for. I feel like I have a lot more to offer the patient that's starting to regain than the one who's doing wonderful. Mm-hmm. The one who's doing wonderful is doing everything right. It's the patient that's struggling that we can really help.
When addressed appropriately, weight loss and obesity addressed at every clinic visit mm-hmm. is very appropriate. And we need to consistently remind patients. So not only do we go over dietary things, but we go over the graph of their weight loss or weight gain.
I think it's absolutely vital that you know your local weight loss surgeon programs, because they're not all built the same, and not all surgeons emphasize aftercare and how important that is. And so it is important to start to get to know your local programs and know who you want to refer to, because when we talk about complication rates, it varies per center. Success rates long-term vary per center. And so where you decide to send your patient if you decide to send them for weight loss surgery is really, I think, one of the fundamental things you can do to make it safer for that patient.
And looking to see who your surgeons are, how long have they been doing it, how many procedures they do, looking for centers of excellence, which are clearly integrative programs that demonstrate good results, safe results, and long-standing results.
We've had a great discussion today. What would you say are the key take-home points for physicians who are managing patients who are obese?
Well, I think for primary cares, it's certainly going to be the recognition of obesity as a disease entity, and then being able, with compassion and with a good rapport with your patient, be able to identify the patients that are obese, do it early on, utilize nutritional tools, utilize tools that we can show patients where they're at in their size, and in their height, their BMI charts, and start entertaining and opening those discussions so that they feel free to address their other health issues that are going to be impacted.
And as a subspecialist, we need to realize that obesity is our issue as well. We treat the complications of obesity, and we need to think about treating obesity as a cause of their other disease processes. We need to think about it every day, every visit, and every opportunity that we have to help these patients improve their overall health.
And I would want to just emphasize on both of the things that you said. We need to understand that obesity is a disease. And as a disease, it has a spectrum of treatment. And for that most severe form of obesity, that morbidly obese patient, their best hope to get back to a healthy weight at this time is weight loss surgery. And weight loss surgery can be done safely, it can be done effectively, in the right program with the right surgeon. And the work starts after surgery. And so getting to know your local resources becomes vital in treating this disease.
In closing, we'd like to thank all of you for participating in this truly important discussion today about the barriers to referral for bariatric surgery, as well as strategies for long-term weight loss. We'd also like to thank you, our viewers, and we hope the discussion today will be helpful in advising your patients and making the best treatment decisions. Also, we encourage each of you to go to your computer, log on to discoverychannelcme.com, and take the post test. It only takes a few minutes to earn free credit for this program. And if you'd like to see the program again, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a DVD. The graphics and references from the program are also available online. Finally, we'd like to thank the University of Virginia School of Medicine for accrediting this program, as well as Ethicon Endosurgery for providing the educational grant that made the program possible. I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Channel CME. Have a nice day.